You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Rest in peace, Lou Henson, former Illinois coach. Lou Du died at the age of 88. They'll probably credit coronavirus because you get more money that way. You get paid if you die of the coronavirus. So everybody's claiming that. There are some other stories. The NBA starts tonight, boys. Excited?
Yeah.
Pelicans, Jazz.
By the way, did you see that bet better be taken off the board? They're already coming together for everyone's going to
kneel. Yeah, everyone's kneeling. And they're doing it together. That story was out. We could have still bet it yesterday. We were dumb.
I couldn't find it anywhere. I went to the site. No, I couldn't find it. It's one of those nice things where they get talked about. They throw something out there. Hey, talk about this, guys. Okay, we will. And then you go to the site like, oh, it's not there.
Yeah.
None of these props are there. Zion, you excited to see the restart of Zion? I really don't care. I only care about the Rockets right now. I care about the Rockets, the Lakers, the Clippers. I care about Magic City Wings. I care about if the Clippers are going to have...
I care about Jack's Wings because they brought me fries.
Yeah, that was nice. I care about whether or not the Clippers have more than 7 people on their roster by the time it's all said and done since they're losing people left and right. But actually, they're all coming back. Are all of them back now, actually? Lou is
out for a bit.
Is Bev back and fully quarantined?
He's been back long enough, I believe, because I think he got back on Saturday, I think.
He did, and I think he had a 4-day quarantine.
Yeah, Harold, he hasn't gotten back yet. So Montrezl isn't, as John calls him, isn't back yet, and Lou Williams clearly is out. So Zubac, Shamit, and Pat Bev, if they're just...
Look, Montrezl is a little bit of a loss for them right now.
Yeah. So if they decide they're ready to go, they can play because they are out of quarantine. But the question will be if Doc thinks Zubac and Shamit and Beverly are ready to go.
Yeah, I mostly just care about what the Rockets are doing, how they're looking.
What do you think the Rockets' line is tomorrow night against the Mavericks?
So it is a neutral court game. It's pretty close. I'm going to make the Rockets 2.
Rockets are an underdog, +1.
Okay. Not that surprising either, to be honest with you. You got a good young team. The Rockets are going to be missing one of their scorers, one of their shooters. Yeah, that's not that crazy. And what the Mavericks have are athletic bigs. So not only can they be bigger than the Rockets, they're athletic bigs. They're not stuck in mud in terms of their movement where it's a big liability. They can move around defensively. They can switch off on high screen and rolls. They're athletic big, so one would think they could match up against a smaller lineup a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Mavericks, to me, are the sneaky team in the West. I don't think they can win it, but I do think they're going to be a problem. That's the next up-and-coming team that I would be worried about. I think with what you see, they're young. Luka, to me, is a tremendous player. And I know Porzingis is a really, really good player.
Did you see him almost get his head taken off by that camera? Did you see that?
Luka.
In the exhibition game, he goes over, try to stop a ball that's going out of bounds, and he's leaning over. And they've got that camera along the sideline, and nobody's manning. It's on a wire. And, dude, just at the last minute, backs up, and the camera's run. They've got the camera going, and it would have not taken his head off. But, man, there's some things there's some kinks that they need to work out over there, especially with that camera stuff going on. We got a Notre Dame fan here to tell Dell to suck it. What's up, Chuck? What's going on?
What's going on, fellas? I'd just like to tell Dell from all Notre Dame fans, you're welcome that we came over to make your league a little more relevant. Mm. And if you get a win against us, you might even get a shot at the national title. So we just like to say thank you, and we will put the patch on this year because it'll become soon a collector's item, so when all is said and done, Notre Dame will still be what we are, and you'll still be Miami. Mm. Later.
Yeah, you'll still be a team who brutally disappoints when they're given, you know, a big stage. Yeah, you'll continue to do that. And the last time we played each other, I believe this the score was 41-8, so I don't want to hear from you. Thank you.
Hmm.
Sorry. I mean, if you want to talk about it, let's talk about it. The last time you came down here with National Tide hopes in Miami, you left with the 33-point ass-kicking.
Hmm.
That's all.
They'll just went Machine Gun Kelly on.
And this is a Miami team who's not good.
That's the last time you played? How long ago was it?
2017.
2017?
Yeah. And they came down there undefeated, or maybe one loss. Third-ranked team in the country. I forgot what they were. Left with a 33-point ass-kicking.
Hmm. How'd that taste?
Wave goodbye to Notre Dame.
Hmm.
So I don't want to hear from Notre Dame. Every time we see Notre Dame on a national stage in a big game, we know what happens.
Yeah, but who gets it a big game?
It doesn't matter if you get embarrassed. Who cares? What does it matter?
Uh-huh.
Hey, look, Notre Dame's in another title game or a playoff game. What happens?
Down 40-0 Alabama.
Yeah, or against Clemson. Congratulations.
There it is. It is a national embarrassment. Yes. Every time they if I were Notre Dame, I would just be hoping I don't get to a national championship game.
Hmm.
Because when they get there, or even the playoffs, because every time they get there, everyone's like, oh, my God, what are they doing here? By halftime, it's like, oh, Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, you ruined everything.
If you weren't named Notre Dame, you wouldn't even be here in the first place. Hmm. It isn't. They do embarrass themselves frequently.
They do. Well, we'll see against Clemson, huh?
At least that game will be at home. And it's in the regular season, which will probably
fare well. Does it matter if it's at home if there's no fans?
Yeah.
You still got to travel, I guess.
And I don't know if Indiana, what their issue is as far as COVID, so maybe they will have fans there. I don't know. I don't know Notre Dame, if their AD has said what they're going to do as far as that's concerned. We don't know when it'll be played, so it might be later in the year where things might be better for them. Who knows? Who knows? Just know that Notre Dame, be the whore that you are and put the patch on.
Notre Dame is that team that just can't, they just embarrass themselves in those situations like the drunk person who gets way too drunk, like embarrassingly drunk, at something where everyone else isn't really drinking hard, like a kid's birthday party. Like, you're not supposed to be like this, Notre Dame. This is really embarrassing, and no one's going to forget this ever. This will always be the time that Notre Dame came in and got drunk in the playoffs and got embarrassed, when all you had to do was just show up, be sober, you know, have a couple of drinks, put your FaceTime in and be done. You get out of there, you lose by 10, it's no big deal. Then instead, you go in, Manti Te'o, you're bleep-faced at a wedding shower or something, or a baby shower.
This is Notre Dame to a T.
Get ready to ride on, baby, let's go!
Now he's saying USC stuff, but he was at some type of fundraising event where he's not supposed to be that drunk.
Yeah, don't be that drunk at a fundraiser.
Yeah, that's who they are. Oh, Notre Dame.
People who's going to go back and talk about
love
you
Notre Dame.
With your thick ankle cornerbacks who can't cover anyone.
Indiana.
Corners aren't supposed to have calves that big.
Hey, corners not supposed to have cankles, Notre Dame. What's going
on
out there?
You got linebacker calves, Notre Dame.
Indiana has 9,500 cases per million. 64,000 total cases they've had.
Yeah, they've kicked it up lately, by the way.
436 deaths total in
what
the state. Per million population, 436 deaths.
As of yesterday's reporting, at least for July 28th, that had 632 cases. And they've been pretty consistent in that range. So I don't know how their government decides what's good and what's not as far as cases are concerned. So they're not clearly not Florida, Texas, or California. Population has something to do with that. But I don't know. We'll see. If that game gets scheduled in November, will they have fans? Possibly. We don't know.
Here's crazy. Texas has the fourth most total cases. Texas has, but yet they only have, we only have 220 deaths per million. New York has eight times that. New Jersey has even more than eight times that, 8.5 times that. We're less than California per million population. We're less than just about, we're towards the bottom in the United States of deaths per million.
Hmm. I know that some of that is attributed to us having it later, when they've got remdesivir, they've got steroids that they understand how to treat it better now.
Yeah.
New York was on the early stages. You also had the big outbreaks in the New York had big outbreaks in the old folks home, the senior centers. So that was that also is going to skew theirs a little bit. They had a big one there. But they do understand how to treat it a little bit better. By the way, do you remember when your crazy Italian doctor's like, "Eh, it looks like it's just going away. We're seeing it just going away. We don't even need a vaccine anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Coronavirus is just
mutated.
Leaving.
It says it's mutated.
It's mutated. It's not even. It's barely even alive anymore.
It's not even a cold anymore.
This like." Who's this Italian doctor saying that? I don't know, but I like what he's saying.
I love it.
We all love what he's saying.
Did our president quote him?
And then probably. We're here. And then we're here. Well, yeah, but he also had that lizard lady or whatever. And like, if you have sex with demons, get ready right. to have COVID. Like, wait, what?
Well, yeah.
Hold on a second. Right. What is she saying?
No, she said that you're more likely to get sick if you have sex with demons.
I mean, I'm not saying that that's okay.
Is that inaccurate?
That sounds crazy. However,
is that inaccurate?
If we're fact checking her,
what?
I do think there's probably a level of accuracy that demon sex is going to make you sick.
Yes. Yes. So, and everybody is discrediting her because of that.
I mean, if you really just break it down, I think it's pretty logical. Does it sound crazy? Yes, it sounds crazy. But just break down exactly what she said. Is that likely to get you sick if you have sex with a demon? I mean, honestly, gun to my head, I'm going to say, you know what? Yeah. I think there's a pretty good chance.
I'm not having sex. I'm not having sex with a demon. You know why? Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sick.
I have had it before and it wasn't good.
Ooh.
Demon sex? Ooh.
Actually, had taken it.
814 ESPN.
Was this an unnamed demon or?
No, it was his first wife, probably.
Zool. It was Zool.
Zool.
8:14. We got to take a break.
There is no Dana, only Zool.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
This is not true. Who sent us this? C. Neil LaCroix. This is not true. Choose your favorite Dr. Emmanuel claim. Okay. Have you seen these?
No.
Gynecological problems. Yeah, it's gynecological. Are caused by people having sex in their dreams with demons and witches. Okay.
Okay.
Alien DNA is currently being used in medical treatments. Okay.
I'm listening.
3, scientists have plans to install microchips in people and are developing a vaccine to prevent people from being religious. Okay.
Well, we know Elon Musk thinks at some
point you're going to have
chips in your head to listen to music.
4, government is run in part by reptilians and other aliens.
All government? All governments? Or
I don't know all governments.
Ones?
Maybe just this specific one. But okay. Listen, I don't know the governments of Zimbabwe
and other places.
And Sweden. Yeah. I don't know.
Sweden, I have heard, yes.
The magic 8-ball toy is psychic and part of a scheme to get children used to witchcraft.
That's not true.
That is true.
That wasn't said.
No, that could be true. You don't know it.
No, but that wasn't said, was it?
This is what she says, Dr. Emmanuel.
Are
these
you
are her
sure
claims.
This isn't some kind of just.
No, these are her claims.
How do you know that? Because somebody on Twitter said it?
Yep. Okay. See Neil Croy? Hydroxychloroquine cures COVID-19 and protective face masks aren't necessary. Okay. Our president confirmed that. The Illuminati has a plan hatched by a witch to destroy the world using abortion, gay marriage, and children's toys.
That's a new one. Which ones did she cite? The children's toys. Because I do not want to give the Illuminati another leg up.
She's not sending all of these. She's not sending.
You know. This can't be possible.
This is no. Gay marriage will lead to adults marrying children, and gay Americans are practicing homosexual terrorism. Don't know about that one. Schools teach children to meditate so they can meet with demons. Okay. Now you tell me, have you ever met a child? Are you saying that they haven't? They're not cohorting with demons?
To be fair, I think the children are the demons.
Well, they may be cohorting, no? Or learning stuff.
I honestly think the children are teaching the demons things.
You think the children are the ones that are the demons, and the demons are trying to get away from them?
The demons meet up the kids are like, whoa, don't you think you're being a little too aggressive with your ideas?
I don't feel like we can ask Dell about children's stuff,
no.
Family stuff,
wives.
Or marriage.
No.
I feel like we shouldn't even, I wouldn't even look, just look over here, look in this direction. I'll talk to that.
Well,
section.
but I think you feel much the same way about children.
No. They just are, they're A, blessings. Yeah, I think we can all agree on that. And then B, they aren't, Mike, I can't speak for other kids because I see other kids that seem to get along. My kids have fights every day. It's mm-hmm. not like, oh, you know what? We had one this week. Mm. No, it's every day, a minimum of two. At one point, I heard Alec and Snacks arguing about something because Snacks couldn't go help him with this dog-sitting thing he's doing. There's this great big unruly dog he's watching. And
is he getting paid?
Snacks is like, I want to go. Yeah, he's getting paid. He goes, he's got to go over four or five times a day because these people were out of town. Snacks goes, I want to go over and help too. You're not big enough or strong enough to deal with that dog. That dog is huge. Yes, I am. I had to pull Mason off of you twice when you are fighting. And I'm like, wait, what happened? Hold on. What? While I was gone, you had to pull Mason off of him. What's happening while I'm gone? Because I'm not.
Oh, that's coming happening. Back early. That's happening.
Yeah.
Oh, are you kidding?
I'm sitting here with a dislocated shoulder that I'd rather be up here in a chair, unable to get comfortable for multiple hours doing podcasts and
then going home to your children.
Then having to deal with that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not really. No, but,
that makes sense.
Not really, but I just wish they were. They just need to go outside and play more. What happened to the going outside?
They don't do that.
Why did that shut down all of a sudden? Just because it's raining? Kids, you can still go out in the rain. We used to run through the rain. I can't believe me, afraid of lightning. When it would rain, we would go put our swim trunks on, take our shirts and socks off or whatever, yeah. and just go out. Man, you're running in the rain.
Yeah, having fun.
Best.
That was great. That was great. Andre Iguodala caught it last night.
I know. Alec came and ran in and told me because he had an alert that came in on his phone.
So he's watching a WNBA game. First of all, big ups. I mean, I'm an advocate. I watched a quarter.
Yeah, you're an ally.
I am an ally. Yes.
Are you, though?
Yeah, yeah. I watched a quarter of the WNBA.
And Andre was trying to be an ally.
He was. He tweeted out, number 23 from the Mystics is nice with 3 exclamation points. You know what? That's a nice compliment. Number 23 from the Mystics is nice. Well, that's her name is Ariel Powers, and she retweeted it with this comment. Put some respect on my name or keep this tweet to yourself. Then she tweeted out, we deal with disrespect on the daily. So for someone like you, Andre, to tweet that off the same device you could have looked me up on is unacceptable. Mind you, commentator said my name. Would it have been the same if I was a guy? Look at the pic. I didn't forget. I said what I said. And he sent out a tweet that Andre Iguodala sent out a while ago that said, NBA star, I don't want my daughter playing basketball and becoming a lesbian.
Who sent that out?
Andre Iguodala. While ago.
No, but who, how did this pop back up?
Well, she found it.
Well,
and she sent it back up.
Somebody else found it and sent it to her.
Maybe. Uh-huh. Or she knew it. Or she was pissed at him the first time she saw this. And Andre Iguodala is out there watching what he thinks are lesbians play basketball. And I guess, man, you better say a woman's name from now on. Why can't you call her number 23?
Well,
I know a lot of people say, listen, come on, four, get a hit, four. Let's go, four, get a hit. Let's go, four.
There's a 100% chance that Andre Iguodala, if he's watching college basketball and he doesn't watch on a regular basis, he goes, man, this number 14 is nice for Gonzaga.
Yeah.
I don't think that's outrageous that he would have said something like that.
Yeah, but she's a pro. And she's scoring 27.
That's great. Do you really think he meant disrespect?
No, I don't think he meant disrespect. But I think she had this in her arsenal. Maybe that's why she was pissed at Andre Iguodala.
Yeah,
maybe she knew about this before and said, oh, watch this now.
Well,
I don't want to hear from Andre Iguodala.
Maybe, but I think Twitter probably just got in her DM. Somebody got in her DM and said, oh, this is the same guy that said this.
Or...
Because when
she
did
knew.
She tweet that? How
but
long?
Because she was pissed immediately at him, and maybe she had this out for, I better never hear from Andre Iguodala after that comment.
She might have had it in the tuck. And how long did he tweet that ago? How long ago did he tweet the whole lesbian?
It doesn't say. Oh, 2016.
Oh, so, I mean.
She might have known. She might have had this.
She might have. Did he get canceled?
He was in the middle of, he was either coming off a finals MVP or was about to go win one.
You know what?
That might have made some news in the WNBA.
You know what? You might as well. It's a heat check. Okay.
Hey, if I
let
say
me
this,
see if I can't drop a lesbian on the WNBA here. I'm an NBA Finals MVP.
Not just that, he's saying playing WNBA basketball will change his daughter into a lesbian.
Right.
Not
and becoming a lesbian.
Become a lesbian.
It transforms you.
Can we analyze that more? If a girl plays basketball, she's going to become a lesbian, according to Andre Iguodala.
Well, I don't know. Andre Iguodala, he shot his shot, and guess what? Got shot back on.
He got rejected.
And he happened. Just he said, no manners.
No manners. Yeah, I saw that.
Way to go, Andre Iguodala. That's a good comeback by him. No manners. He actually didn't have much to say. He didn't have much. But wait a minute. Ever since J.J. Watt's wife, now everybody's got to say their name.
I don't know if you know this, but I think women for years have been saying, "I got a name. I'm not that girl. I'm not that woman.
What you doing?
Say my name. Don't say what you're about to say. That would be inappropriate."
The stupid part is the commentator said my name. You mean the guy who did prep for the game and is getting paid to?
Well, but if you're actually watching it, you could hear her name.
Oh, I get it. Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's what he said.
Yeah.
Maybe he was in one of those crowded bars.
Maybe.
Well, you're not supposed to
well,
be.
No.
Like the Rutgers football team.
No, he's in a bubble. He's in a bubble.
He's in a bubble. He's probably in his room.
Oh, that's right. He's in a bubble.
Yeah.
He's probably in his room.
So what we found out, you mentioned Rutgers, linked to a party, their outbreak. Bob Nightingale said a couple days ago that he heard that a Miami player went out to celebrate, and that's how he got it. Who knows if that's true? We already heard about the Orlando Pride, the couple of their team. A couple of their players went to a party. Stay out of the clubs. Stop going to parties. You cause outbreaks. I don't know if you know this. Don't go to a club. Don't go to a party.
Rutgers with 15 outbreak. I mean, it's. I guess we're going to play college football. I really don't see any way that college players aren't going to just...
Have you seen how the numbers have gone down across the board?
I just saw a 15-player outbreak in Rutgers.
At Rutgers, well, because they were stupid.
In New Jersey, where it had already been really...
Well, and New Jersey's one of the worst states in the country.
No, it had already been really... Yeah, it had previously. Right. They had been done with it.
Yeah, but if... Listen.
Now it's back.
Listen.
Because of Rutgers...
Okay, listen. If we lose the Marlins and Rutgers... And well, all the I mean, and two Dallas FC and who was the other one that we lost?
It was Nashville.
Nashville, who cares? You know what? When we lose Clemson,
if we
got a problem.
Yeah, well, because the Power Five conferences aren't going to have anyone going to parties. Let me tell you something. If you're betting your friend who wants to bet you that all of the SEC mm-hmm. and Big 12 is it? That all the games go,
yeah.
You better be betting under on that one.
I'm betting the under. I bet.
Yeah, that's easy money.
Holly says, that's crap. I call plenty of NFL players by their number. That's just a thing. That is a thing.
Holly's disrespectful.
No, she's not.
Have you met Holly?
Holly is a little disrespectful.
She's a little disrespectful.
Yeah, no, Holly can be disrespectful, yeah. Yeah, there's no question about that. But calling somebody by their number is okay.
That's a per usual.
I always say number four when talking about Deshaun.
That's just a classic case of now an athlete's catching it where it's just.
Well, I think she wanted to go after him.
She might have had that previous tweet in the tuck.
She might.
Wait.
There's
she
a chance.
Yeah.
There's a chance, but he obviously didn't mean disrespect. But maybe she, you know, maybe she is tired of saying, hey, you know what? Why? Can I get my name mentioned at all? I can see it. I can see her being upset. I don't see her making a big deal about it on Twitter, except for the fact that this other thing happened.
I can understand some of it because, well, we know. I mean, we make the jokes, probably wrongfully so, about the WNBA. And you think she's not hearing that stuff all the time about, well, okay, you're playing basketball, but is it really? All that type of stuff. So she's like, hey, give me some respect.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty good player.
I put 27 up.
Yeah, yeah, give me some respect.
Yeah. I mean, way to go, Ariel Powers. I'm on board.
I'm just, you know.
I'm on Team Ariel.
Are you?
Yes.
There he is.
I'm on Team Ariel.
There he is.
Are you, though?
Yes, I am, though.
Man of the women.
Team Jamel, Team Ariel?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. I'm for respect.
Respecting
okay.
women. We're all for that.
Yeah. And?
But I feel like it loses some of its...
I'm trying to wake people up.
I feel like it loses some of its feeling when you say, I'm team this, I'm team that. Because when you say it, it feels like, oh, that's just John being John.
Am I not constantly quoting Jamel?
No, you're not. You just keep saying Team Jamel. You're not quoting her.
Team Jamel. That's it. That's me. Hashtag Team
then
Jamel.
Then you must have been proud of Jamel for going out to Tommy Lahren over the weekend.
Yeah. That biznotch.
Your team women, I don't know about calling another
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I feel like you just broke some of your own violated the code.
Yeah, not conservative women. I'm not about that.
Really?
Yeah. Because I'm woke.
See, all of it. No, once again.
I'm not sure who John's an ally to be honest with you.
To himself and his jokes. He's an ally to himself and getting the joke
off.
He's
an ally to free pizza and wings and fries.
And fries. Anything that benefits him, he's an
ally to.
He's
an sweet tickets.
Don't forget free golf.
He's an ally to free golf.
He is not an ally unless it means John's feeling good.
What have I gotten from Team Jamel? That's all. I'm just helping the cause.
But you say Team Jamel, and no one believes you're on Team Jamel.
Everybody does. Ask the people. Ask the people.
Do you really want to ask the people?
Yes.
This is a little... I feel bad for Andre Iguodala catching it like that.
I know. He's just trying to give her a compliment.
I mean, literally is nothing more than just trying to shout out a player.
I don't. Only because of that previous tweet. Yeah. If any WNBA player wants to attack him, they should because of that other tweet about, I don't want my daughter to play basketball because she becomes a lesbian. Any tweet they want to throw, anything they want to throw at him, they can go after.
I think that's the WNBA is. He should stay away from that. It's 8:31 ESPN 97.
Somebody from the WNBA had that in their. They had that bookmarked. Just wait. Hey Ariel, you know what that was? That was probably somebody texted her immediately with the link. Like I've been waiting to throw this one out there on.
Yeah. Or she knew it because she went right after him immediately. 8:31 ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Man, I can't find it. I'm on my bookie right now. Under over on wins for teams the remainder of the season. The Bucks are 5.5. The Celtics are 5.5. The Lakers are 5.5. Under over for Clippers are 5.5. Those two play each other tonight. The loser might have a tough time getting to 5.5. So Dallas over under 4.5. No Rockets, maybe because of Eric Gordon. They're off the board. This Eric Gordon thing is a little...
It's a big deal. I mean, he's you're talking about a guy who is responsible for a decent portion of points, for three-pointers. Yeah, it's kind of a big deal. I don't know that I'd take it off the board, though. I mean, just make an adjustment. Make a half-game adjustment or even a full-game adjustment. Listen to who the Bucks have. I was just thinking, 5.5 on Bucks. Why not bet the over? Here's what the Bucks have. They've got the Celtics. They've got the Rockets, Nets, layup, Heat, Mavericks, and Raptors. They got some challenges in there.
Yeah.
Rockets, Raptors, Mavericks.
But they're better
Celtics.
Than all those teams.
The question's also going to be if they're
how much they're going to play Giannis.
Yeah.
How much are you going to play Giannis?
Would you want Giannis getting hurt?
No, that's a key. So but you also want him to be in, feeling really good.
Yeah, but 24 minutes could do that, couldn't it? 26 minutes.
Yeah, that's the question. How much are you going to play your stars? I mean, James wants to play. James was playing in the exhibition game, saying didn't want to come out.
Rockets have something to gain or not gain. I mean, they can. Well, improving your positioning doesn't mean home court advantage anymore.
So. No. Actually, I don't know that you want to be in the 4 or 5 seed. I think you probably want to stay there. But you got to worry about Dallas behind you coming up and you dropping to the 7 seed.
That's why this first game is kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
You don't want to see the Clippers right out of the jump.
Well, the thought is that the Rockets are the third or fourth favorite to win it all. And yet,
fourth in some places fit. It's
they're even money right now. You can bet that them against Oklahoma City, who will have more wins the rest of the way. That's who they're matched up with.
Okay.
Who would you take?
I mean, I got to look at Oklahoma City.
See, I think this is such a wild card, though. You don't know who wants to play.
Well, this is all a wild card.
Yeah. You don't know how they're going to attack this. How each team is going to? Are they fighting and clawing to win every game? Is home court advantage all that? Does it mean anything? It's a 7-game series at a neutral site.
It doesn't mean anything anymore.
No.
I still think you always want to play to win. There's no advantage in losing.
No. But am I going all out like I would if I got home court advantage?
Oklahoma City has the Jazz, the Nuggets, the Grizzlies, the Lakers, the Wizards, and the Suns. So, you know, there's some challenges in there, the early part of that revamp schedule.
Not at the end, though. Not with the Wizards and the Suns. Why are the Suns even there?
Oh, I didn't get to keep going. Because they got a lot more games, though. They also have the Heat, and then they finish with the Clippers, which might be a rest game, might not be a rest game. Is there any such thing as a rest game now? You've done is rest.
Well, right, but if I'm the Clippers in that last game and I can't move up or down, I'm not going for it.
What if Kawhi is taking, what if he's taking days off to try to keep himself fresh after all this time? Uncle Dennis just says you really need some time off, Kawhi.
Yeah. Well, they're playing now. They're playing a lot, though. They're playing every other day. So, I mean, it's
big deal. Every other day, they're not even so. There's no
there's
back-to-back,
no travel.
Right?
There's no travel.
No travel. No back to backs. This is like getting a run at
there
the gym.
There is a back to back.
Yeah, there are back. Oh,
there are back to backs.
Each team gets one. Yeah.
Well, the Rockets. Do the Rockets have any back to backs?
I don't
see any for the Rockets.
Can tell you that right now.
Well, I know it's for some teams, maybe not everyone, but some teams do have back-to-backs.
They play the 31st, the 2nd, the 4th, the 6th, the 9th. They have a back-to-back. Wait. San Antonio and Indiana.
11-12 there.
Right, 11-12.
There's no travel.
No.
You're getting a run at a gym.
Yeah.
All right, let's run it back tomorrow. Okay.
But it's basically every other day they're playing. So
Mavericks,
that
Bucks,
might wear Kawhi out.
Dude,
you don't know.
Dude, I would not bet on the Rockets against Oklahoma City. Mavericks, Bucks, Lakers, Blazers. That's right out of the gate. Now, then it goes Kings and Spurs, but then you get Pacers and Sixers. Six of your eight are going to be a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't shock me to see the Rockets go to seventh. It really wouldn't. I'm not sure why they are sitting there as a 4 or 5. I understand because they have the talent. And look, whether they either you have the ability to beat the Clippers or you don't. For example, the Clippers. So if they lose, look, you either have a team that's dangerous or you don't. Regardless of how, you just want to be playing good basketball to finish the season. And if some of those turn it, if you end up at the end of the season, you end up getting, you end up going 4-4, then so be it. What I want to know is, are your guys showing signs of playing pretty good basketball? And then we saw it with the Rockets and back in the day in 95. I mean, when they had to go through 360 win teams. You either elevate your game or you don't. The Rockets can't just play standard Rockets basketball and beat the Bucks, the Clippers, or the Lakers. They can't. They're not good enough to just play their they're not better than the other teams where they can play just standard Rocket ball. They gotta play an elevated brand of basketball, which is possible. Teams do that in the playoffs. It's totally possible to play, to get hot and play an elevated brand of basketball. But how likely is it, is the question. How likely is it that the Rockets get enough from enough people where they're playing above expectations to win a championship? I don't really think it's equal to what their odds are, frankly. I think they should be a little longer shots.
If you want to know the truth, I would prefer that they stayed right where they were. In the six hole.
Six?
Yep. You get Denver in the first round, you get the Clippers in the second round, you get the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. I don't want to go up and play Utah in the first round, Lakers second round, Clippers third. I would rather keep the Lakers for the end. That's just me. I don't know. We'll see. The Clippers the Lakers feel like a better team, but we'll see. The Lakers are the favorite.
Be interesting.
I don't like a seven game series.
Six hole?
I don't like a 7-game series against the Lakers.
So
in the
Montrez
second round.
Is out, right? What if you sit in a six hole? This is a team that hasn't practiced together a lot or scrimmaged together. The Clippers, in terms of they've had guys out. What if Denver passes them and they're in the six hole? I mean, they're in the three hole, and you're sitting there like, well, oh, no.
If the Clippers lose tonight, they're only, you know, they're only a
they're
game
only
back.
One and a half ahead of Denver.
Yeah, they're only a game back right now if the Clippers lose tonight.
It's unlikely that Utah could catch them. They're not obviously not catching the Lakers. They'll probably be a two seed, but there's a chance they could fall to a three seed. There's a chance the Rockets could fall to a seven seed.
Mm-hmm. Seven. They could be the Rockets could be four or seven. Mm-hmm. Anywhere in between.
Yeah.
Yep. 8:42.
You really care where they end up? I don't, because home court is just not a thing anymore. I really don't care where they, like I said, I care how they're playing. I don't care where they end up. If you want to win a championship, you got to beat these really good teams. There's two really good teams in the West, and either you're good enough to do it or you're not. It doesn't matter when you face them to me. What difference does it make?
That's true. But you wait. Unless Eric Gordon, if you stay in the six and the Clippers fall to the three, that's the worst case scenario
now, listen,
for me.
They're talking
you don't about, want to play the Clippers in the first round, that's
right,
for sure.
And they're talking about Eric Gordon being out, you know, 2 weeks with the ankle. Well, if you do the math on it, 2 weeks would bring him back by the playoffs. But if it's 3 weeks, now all of a sudden he might be missing some playoff action.
And, oh, by the way, how's he shooting when he's been sitting all this time with an ankle?
Well, and then is the ankle at 100% so he can get lift on his on the three?
Yeah.
That's a really big deal, too.
Yeah.
Can he change direction defensively?
And, you know, if they close out on him, can he run by anybody?
Yeah. Can he make explosive movements defensively and offensively? So yep. The Eric Gordon thing is a big deal. It really is a big deal. So we'll see.
It's another injury as we head to the postseason. Really?
I'm so tired of that. When we come back, we'll get into the Astros a little bit. They lost, but there was Joe Kelly news. The retribution stuff, I think, is going to go away as a storyline in Major League Baseball. We'll talk about that. And we'll also talk about the good and the bad that popped up from last night's game. If you guys want to jump in, I'm about to check the text line, 713-780-3776. You can either call us there or text us there. We will get you right on the right up and right on the show if you call. And then, of course, I'll get to your text here in just a second, or you can hit us up on Twitter. It's The Bench.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So something that yesterday, John, you remember when we interviewed Greg Kelly and Pat Condellis from the documentary Outcry that's on Showtime, five-part documentary on Showtime Sports. Excellent documentary about a high school football player who was sent to prison for child molestation that it turns out he did not do. He got out of prison after 3 years. The doc will come, our podcast on Off Script will come out. Me and Eric Layden will come out, I think later today, possibly by tomorrow, but I think potentially later today. It's about 2 hours long. He talked in there about when he got into prison, he had an immediate test of heart, which is pretty standard where you have to fight. And he had to fight three guys. Like, they lined him up. He talked a little bit about that. But what he also talked about that he didn't mention to us. Okay, so Gabri, his wife, his now wife, his high school sweetheart, I think we all agree that
stood by her.
She's
stood
probably the greatest ride or die
mm-hmm.
woman that you know of.
Right.
I mean, it's about to get even more real when I tell you this, that we didn't know. So she stayed with him through his trip to prison and through 3 years and all that, through unbelievably horrific charges, because she knew he didn't do it, right? Did you know? You know what he didn't tell us? She was an L.A. Chargers cheerleader. She lived in L.A. and was a cheerleader for the Chargers, a dancer for the Chargers. She had men coming on to her all the time, he said, guys sweet-talking her, wanting to take her away, wanted to, you know, this and that, guys with money. And she shut all that down just so she could still be with her high school sweetheart who was in prison.
Hmm.
Like, whoa.
Wow.
And that's something he talked about on a podcast that I had no idea, that she was actually in L.A., living in L.A. as an L.A. Chargers cheerleader. The odds of her not saying, it was a good run, but I'm going to stay out here with Richie Rich over here. The odds of that are astronomical, and yet that's what she did.
That is awesome. Yeah. Well,
they're married.
More respect. More respect. That is great. Good for them. That is, that's a heartwarming story. Well, the whole thing is really not a heartwarming story, but it's...
No, it's not. But he also told me he's about 218 pounds right now. He ran a laser time 448. Jackson Shipley was the one testing it.
I was thinking, you know, it's such a long shot getting on the field with Texas. He's got so little time.
He said any school that will give him a chance, he wants to play at.
Yeah. So San Antonio gave him the original shot. You know what? Go play at San Antonio. Go play for that. They'll probably give him a shot now and say, wow, you know, he wanted to come here and we were the ones that gave him a scholarship offer. He's holding the San Antonio, it's UT San Antonio jersey up. That was prominent in the documentary. You know, it would be a nice story. Go back there and go walk on there and play for them. That was the school that, you know, you were touting as where you were going to go. I'm sure when the story came out, they not only took some heat, but were probably like, wow, we recruited a guy that was, you know, abusing children, and we gave him a scholarship. So they had some mud on their face, and for them to be able to, you know, after he's exonerated, to be able to benefit from him, which they would, they'd get some. So UT San Antonio is not getting any kind of publicity, but to take him in after he was exonerated would be pretty cool.
You know, it's funny because people look at it like, dude, this is a 25-year-old football player. Like, he's way older than these guys. Yeah, mm-hmm. No,
That's a good thing.
That's an advantage.
The bad thing is he hadn't played for so long.
No, he said, look, I haven't played football for 7 years. He said, but Kenny Vaccaro told he was working out with, I mean, they were sharing pictures on their Instagram of working out with Greg Kelly, he and Earl Thomas and guys like that, Quandre Diggs. And Kenny Vaccaro said about Greg Kelly, I thought he was an NFL. He told Pat Kandelis, I thought he was an NFL player. The way he looks, the way he carries himself, how explosive he is, like, he reminds me of an NFL player. From a size standpoint and his speed standpoint, and, you know, I got some of his vertical leap is below average for a safety. His speed is good, is plus for a safety. His size is plus for a safety. I mean, I think the kid just wanted to play football. Really wants to play football. So I hope he gets his chance. Even if it's for 1 year to suit out and be part of it.
So he is opening up to all the other schools.
Yeah, he told us that. He said, I just want my chance for any school that will give me a chance. I think he knows Texas has said on a couple occasions, you know, we're not looking for walk-ons. They say that now. We'll see if anything happens through coronavirus, if that's the case, or opt-outs, because that might change. But I hope he gets a chance just to say, hey, I didn't completely have this ripped away from me, this opportunity, this experience. Because he told us yesterday also his dad, you know, died in the middle of him fighting all this. And his dad was the one who would come and watch his sons. Because he said his brothers were also very athletic. And he'd go to all the events. The dad was there, he said, with a McGriddle and a McDonald's coffee every time they, you know, at the chain link fence watching all their games, all their practices. And so... yeah, it was. I learned a little bit more from the podcast. And then Eric Layden, I didn't want Eric to hear our interview at all because I wanted him to go in fresh because he had so many questions also. But it was pretty interesting. I think you guys will really like the podcast if you didn't hear us talking about it. It should be out on Off Script with Lance Zierlein, Eric Layden, either today or tomorrow. Now, the other thing that happened yesterday, we taped that. And while we were taping, Eric and I both got the notification, and we kind of looked at each other in the screen because we can see each other while we're doing the podcast. Joe Kelly suspended 8 games. When I heard Joe Kelly suspended 8 games, the first thing I thought was Rob Manfred has single-handedly obliterated. I went oblivious and obliterate together to make obliviated.
Two of them, yeah.
I was like, as soon as I said obliterated, like, wait,
that's not a word.
That doesn't feel right. He single-handedly obliterated any thought of revenge porn against the Astros.
Yep.
That went out the door. And all the fans who can't wait to see if somebody will get their face smashed in by a fastball, well, I don't think you're going to get what you want. I think you got as close as you're going to get. Because Joe Kelly's eight-game suspension, here's why that's a big deal. For a starter, it would really mean potentially one game. For a reliever, that's potentially 3 games and maybe 4 games. That's a really big deal. In a 60-game season, it's extremely aggressive. And I was thinking about this. 8 games is a lot. It's the equivalent of over 20-game suspension is what it is. About a 22-game suspension. Do you think Greg Kelly would have caught an 8-game suspension if he wasn't such a jackass? If he didn't act the fool? I don't think so.
I don't.
If he didn't say, well, nice,
don't forget,
swing,
he's
bitch,
got priors. He's got priors.
I know he's got priors.
No, he's been suspended 6 games, I believe, for throwing at people.
Right, I know, but not this.
So
year.
But he's a multiple time offender.
He is, but if he didn't say nice, you could make a very strong case that the slider just didn't turn over against Carlos Correa.
And oh, by the way, well, yes, it was brought up yesterday. You know, if he'd have just thrown at Bregman, this would have all gone away. And not hit him. If he doesn't do that with Correa, then
that one may have actually been an accident. I don't think it was an accident with
No, it wasn't an accident with Bregman. Not 3-0. Not throwing up there. No way. But No. But he's a jackass. You're right. But I think whoever did this, the first one, this was Rob Manfred's plan. He was gonna go, oh, watch this, and we will shut this down now. The first guy that throws at him, we're going to hit him hard, and then nobody will do it again.
If you really feel without a doubt that he was throwing at him, what I'm saying is,
oh, I don't think there's any doubt he was throwing at him.
If Joe Kelly, I don't think he gets 8 games. If Joe Kelly didn't act an ass afterwards and start with all his little faces he did and his commentary, I don't think he gets 8 games. I think that was like, okay, there's no doubt. Not only he's a serial offender, he's a jackass. And he made things worse. Like, he intentionally made things worse. He stoked the fires that could, let's face it, that could have led to the Astros with retaliation yesterday. And you had heard that was definitely in the potential works. I don't want to put it on the Astros that they were hitting somebody. But there was certainly some, you heard some scuttlebutt behind the scenes about that. And that's what Rob Manfred wants to avoid. And so by Joe Kelly acting like an ass, I really truly believe that he got more games than he would have. I think it went from maybe 5 games to 8 games. And it also shut it down. The 8 games means, I think it's shut down around the league. Unless you want to throw some nobody out there and hit the Astros. Now, here's the thing. If you just hit them, do you get suspended if you hit an Astro? You got to feel like it's intentional. That is part of baseball, too.
Yeah, no. No, they're going to get hit by pitches. They're going to get hit. Everybody gets hit by
Not everyone's getting suspended who hits the Astros either.
No. It was obvious what Joe Kelly was doing. I mean, he was blatant about it. And he didn't give a rat's ass what the commissioner... He was trying to make a name for him. Joe Kelly thought, I'm going to be the hero.
Joe Kelly's the hero we need.
That's right.
Oh, the Red Sox?
Are you kidding? And what was the response by all idiot fans? Who love Joe Kelly. I just bought a Joe Kelly jersey. Joe Kelly is the hero.
Good. Oh, you did? Okay, post it up on Twitter. Did you actually, let me see your, you didn't even buy a Joe Kelly jersey, loser.
Hmm.
Joe Kelly, by the way, played with who else? The Cardinals when they were stealing from the Astros system, breaking into the Astros system.
Yeah.
Cheaters. Espionage. Red Sox, espionage. I don't want to hear it.
I'm sick of people.
I don't want to hear it.
I'm sick of everyone who hates the Astros.
Well, you're going to be really sick.
I'm really sick of people.
Because it's really coming into
light.
No. Don't check social media or anything else because it really
even
comes to light how much the Astros are hated.
Even with all of the pandemic and the deaths and the economy, and I thought, you know what? People, come on, really? You really get... They still hate the Astros. Astros hate has been able to outlive COVID.
I didn't know why people thought that this was, well, after the pandemic, people probably aren't going to talk about the Astros. What?
Well,
Twitter's off.
No, but there's a lot worse thing, honestly. And we got a lot more problems than you're going to have this built up hatred for the Astros. Really?
People didn't get their, they didn't get their pound of flesh. What does Twitter is what? A constant.
What pound of flesh?
Cycle. Who? Oh, no, they want their Twitter pound of flesh.
Why?
Well, why did people think that social media would, like, you know, guys, this is really serious. After George Floyd and after the pandemic and everything that's happened and social injustice, we really need to not say anything about the Astros because it's just not that serious. I said no one ever. Twitter is that petty basic bitch. That's what Twitter is.
Whoa.
Yeah, Twitter is pumpkin spice latte. You think they're going to back off of a chance to come after the Astros? That was never in the works. That was never decided. Like, you know, guys, this baseball thing, it just doesn't, it takes on new meaning. It's just not as important. No, Twitter is so basic that they will jump on a fight. It doesn't matter. Baseball started? Great. Can't wait. Let me get out my Astro tweets that I've got saved in drafts.
Mm-hmm.
Let me watch as much of this Dodger game so I can mention everybody who gets a base hit that's the hero we need. I'm here for this. The Astros almost got hit in the face, and I'm here for this. Great, Twitter.
You're 9 so o'clock, cool. ESPN.
Twitter reminds me of people who like Lord of the Rings.
Whoa. No. What? What?
Mm-hmm.
No, more like Harry Potter. Those people are the worst. Well, actually, both my daughters are.
You shall not